We left off yesterday in the middle of a machlokas within people in the room, which we saw is also a machlokas rishona. So we need to understand that machlokas, what exactly they're talking about, and then Bezos Hashem will go on in the Gemara, and most of you are struggling through this machlokas rishona this morning, so let's see if we can try to clarify it as much as possible. So again, what was the case that we were dealing with yesterday? Yeah, the case that the Gemara is talking about is a case where we have, right, three pieces of land. Right, we have three pieces of land, the Yidis, the Beninis, and the Ziboris. And these three pieces of land were all sold to somebody else. Right? So now they are in the realm. Now we are in the, they are in the realm. Now they are in the realm of what we call, right, Nirbayla Lokayach. But we said that each of these lands was purchased by somebody else. Right? So we stuck in here. We have Reuven, here we have Shimon, and here we have Levi. So Reuven purchased a piece of Yiddis. Shimon purchased the piece of Ananis, and Levi purchased the piece of Zeboris. Right? And these were originally Yaakov's pieces of land. Now, unfortunately, Yaakov had three different people to whom he owed money. What types of people? Excellent. Right? So we have a Nizak, we have a Balchov, and we have the Subas Isha. Now they all come to collect. And they show up at Yaakov's house, and Yaakov says, "Sorry, I have nothing left." So now we know that the halacha is that when there's nothing left, where can they then go? They can collect from, well, the lokeah, the mishubadim, right? The mishubadim. So which one are they going to collect from? So that's what we needed to figure out. So again, if we throw in here again the same situation, so we said. We said that what is the rule? Which piece of land do you collect from if these were sold on different days?
The last one.
It happened to be the last one in the example that we set up was the Ziboris. Right? It's from the last one. Why is it that we can collect only from the last one? How come we can't collect from all of them? Aren't they all Mishubadim? So Rashi taught us the rule from the Mishnah says, "Gitin that what? Right. Hinachti lecha makom. Right. The first one who purchased. So again, the first one who purchased was Reuven. Let's just put the dates in to make it simpler. So we have, let's call it January, February, and March. So we know the order of the purchases that were here. So Reuven purchases land in January. When he purchased that land from Yaakov in January, Yaakov still had Beninis and Ziboris. So Reuven can say, from the perspective of my land, he nachti lecha makom. I left you space to still collect from the Beninis and Ziboris that were by Yaakov, and therefore these pieces of land, the Beninis and Ziboris, are considered to be b'nei chorin. Good. And the rule is that ein nifra'in min nechasim mishubadim b'makom sheyesh b'nei chorin. Right? You're not allowed to go to the has to collect from the Ziboris, because Yaakov has it. That's b'nei chorin. So you can't go to the mishubadim if there are b'nei chorin. Good. So we have this rule of ein nifra'in min nechasim mishubadim b'makom sheyesh b'nei chorin, which again connected with what Jack said of hinachti lecha makom. I can say I left you space. Then the Rivah brought up the case that was in Machlokas between Yitz and Tzvi Moshe, which was also Machlokas Rivah and the Yesh Mefarshim in the Meir. What was the case again? We said as follows. If each piece of land is worth $100, and each of these people is also owed exactly $100. Right? So they're each entitled, and and Yaakov has nothing left. Nebuchadnezzar, right? So Yaakov has nothing. So now the Nizak, the Bachob, and the Ksuba are all going to go to Reuven, Shimon, and Levi to collect. Which means that Reuven, Shimon, and Levi at the end of this Beis Din proceedings are going to have nothing. They're going to lose all of their land. So the Rivas said, look inside the Tosfos, the Rivas said, Omer Riva, yeah, you guys got it? She'imbo kulam bivas achas. If they all show up at once, so who's going to collect first? Who's going to collect first? Kol ha'kodem bashtar zocha. The one that has the
longest,
the earliest, right, the earliest connection to the land, the earliest shiva. So again, if this took place, I guess we can put in the same dates for now. I confuse things a little bit later, but it's later for now. Right, if it came January, February, March, so now, when it's gonna complicate things a little bit, but just pretend that the dates line up for now. Okay? So now the Nizah comes to collect, right? They all come at the same time. All these debts are gonna be given out. So now who is the first one to basically says, okay, we lined up Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, who gets to collect first?
Nizah.
The Nizah. Why? Because his chov, his obligation, his connection to the land came first. So what do you collect from?
The Acharon,
because these two guys can say, the one that's the Ben Chorin is the Ziboris. So now what comes out says the Riva is everything is reversed. The Nizak will get the Ziboris, then there's no Ziboris left because the $100 wipes each other themselves out. Who's next? The Balfob. Okay, so the Balfob will get what he deserves. And the Ksubas Isha is the third one to collect, and then there's only one piece of land that's Meshubah left, which is Edis, and it comes out that everything is the opposite of what we would have expected. Right? Good. So that was the Shita of the Riva. Then, Svi Moshe was Mechave to the Yesh Meforshim in the Mi'iri, and the Yesh Meforshim in the Mi'iri said, not so fast. I agree with all of the rules that you said. And if it was true that not everything was going to be used up, right, if there was plenty of extra, there's extra land here, then of course the one with the oldest shibud, the oldest connection, collects first. But says the Yesh Meforshim in the Mi'iri, in this case, everything is getting used up anyway. So you know what? It goes back to the Ikar Hadin. It goes back, and the Nizak gets the Yedis, Meitav, the Bafol gets the Venus, and the Ksubas Isha gets the Ziboris. And the question of Osai, that's what we left off with yesterday, so what is that Machlokas about? So you guys saw part of the rush this morning, that will give us a little bit of an inkling. Let's try to formulate it in this way. Why is it true? We've been assuming until now, right, that right, Ein Ephraim, Ein Achasim, Mishubadim, right, B'mako, Mishayim, running in space, B'nei Chorim. This was the rule that we said. You cannot collect from the sold stuff if there is property that is still free. Question is, how does that work? Meaning, is that me Iker Hadin? Is there a pasuk somewhere that tells you that the old Shibuda Daraisa, like we saw Fula held in Baba Basra? Would we say that the Ikar Hadin, this rule is true? Or is this another Takana Derabana? Why would the Rabbana be making a Takana here? We saw Seidah de Lekuchos. We saw that content before. Excellent, right? The buyer, if the Niza can now go, and that was a choice. Yaakov has Ziboris, and he was the Mazik. He was the one that caused the trouble to start off with. So now I can either collect the Ziboris from him, Or I can go to Reuven and collect the Idis. If I have a choice, so who is Eniza going to go to? He's going to take the better piece of land. But our main concern, says Chazal, is that he gets his money back. We don't really care if he gets it back in the form of Idis or if he gets it back in the form of Zipporus. It doesn't matter to us. And if we understand that Takanas Chachamim, then hopefully we can understand the Snachokas, the Rivat, and the Eish Mefarshim, and then we can move forward and it'll be important in the next Gemara as well, just in the simple chat of the Gemara. So the question is, when they said that in there are over two options that exist. Option number one is that Chazal said that anything, that as long as there is b'nei chorin available, the shibud that you have is uprooted. We would have said, you know, we have this complete shibud until now, right? There's shibud on all three pieces. If Sheba had all three pieces of land, because that's what Yaakov possessed at the time. Now Chazal come along and they say, well, we have to be concerned, because the buyer's going to lose out. So as long as there is B'nai Chorin, there is no Shibut on the other property. They uprooted. They uprooted the Shibut. That's one possibility. What happened, you know, when we stick it back into the revive, things will become clear. The other possibility, not that they uprooted the shibud still exists. But they made a rule in terms of the order of collection. Right? You're right. You do have a shibud on this piece, and on this piece. But said Chazal, that if you have been in Chorin, the rule is the first place you have to attack is the B'nai Chorin. Why? Because what Jack said before, we want to protect the buyers. So one possibility is that we uprooted the Shibud. The other possibility is the Shibud is intact. And this is a rule in order of collection. Now let's plug it in. I think it should become clear. And if not, we'll take questions. Okay? So now, says the Riva, we have this case over here. In the end, Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are going to lose all the property that they have. Right? Because that's what's going to be collected. So can the Nizak simply go to the other property that's Meshubad and take the one that he deserved, quote unquote deserved, that he should have gotten the Idis? So the Rebbe says no. Because as long as there is something for him to collect from, the Shibud and everything else is uprooted. So as long as the first address to go, which you all said, right, everybody here agreed, that if these numbers did not work out perfectly, we would tell the Nizak that he has to collect from the last one that was sold, which is Zipporus. Why is that? Now we understand. Because as long as this one exists, there is no Shibud on the other ones. Once that doesn't exist, then the Shibud can shift. But there is no Shibud either, so you can't jump ahead to one that's what we would call B'nai Chorin. We can't jump ahead to something else. As long as it's B'nai Chorin, we can't jump to another piece of property. That's what the Riva says. The Yesh Mefarshim says no. The Shibud is on all of them. The Shibud is on all the properties equally. But Chazal stepped in and Chazal said, we want to make sure that this guy who purchased, knowing that there are other lands available, is not going to lose out. In this case, will he lose out? If we let the Nizak get the Idis, does Reuven lose anything?
Yeah, he loses anyway, though.
So is he losing anything? whether the Nizak gets the Iddis or the Ksubas Isha gets the Iddis, does he lose anything out? He's losing the land either way. So the whole Takana did not touch the Shibud. All it touched was the order of collection in order to protect, in order to protect the person who bought first. So in this case, where this person is losing his land anyway, says the Riva, says the Ish Mepharshim in the Meiri, let's go back to the Ikar Hadin. What was the Ikar Hadin? What's the Nizak supposed to get?
It is.
So if there's no reason for the Takana anymore, because the whole Takana, was about protecting the first Lopeach, if it's not going to make any difference because he's going to lose the land either way, we might as well go back to the Ikar Hadin. That seems to be the machlokas between Svi Moshe and Yitz, we'll turn up here at the moment, and at the same time between the Riva and the Sefer Mefarshim and the Meiri. Again, the Riva understands that when Chazal said that when they're B'nei Chorin, you can't go to Mishabatim, that means you cannot go past the B'nei Chorin because there is no Shibud until that becomes the available property. If you say Nati L'chamakom, that undoes the Shibud until that's the next property that is available. Therefore, there's no way to jump ahead, even if it's going to make sure that the Nizak will get the correct property. When it comes to that Yesh Mefarshim, he understands, no, the Shibud is completely intact. All of these lands are Mishubadim. However, we have another concern. We want to protect the Lekuchos. If by here it's not going to create any protection for the Lekuchos, then we can go back to the Ikar Hadin and allow the Nizak to collect from the Ibis. Is that clear? What was that? Oh, excellent. Should we throw in that last nakuda from the Rush, or should we move forward? Up to you guys. The Rush? Okay, fine. The Rush, you saw the Rush this morning. We're going to do this quickly. It's the most part, not the big deal. The Rush threw a monkey wrench into this whole thing. Right? The Rush says, like the Riva. The Rush says, like the Riva. And normally you have to go in order. And then the Rush says something which is, which shocked a few of you this morning. Right? What did the Rush say? If you look at the Rush in Simon Gimel, the Rush said, Nira li im nizakin yefaisu al kuchos harishonim sheyanichum libos tchiba mehen. If the nizak, again, same scenario here, all the property is going, of all three people, is going to be going to one of these three people. Nothing's going to be left in the end. If the nizak wants, he can go to Reuven and say, Reuven, do me a favor. You're losing your land anyway. So instead of the woman coming and getting it for her ksuba, when originally she was only entitled to zikuras, do me a favor. I was supposed to be the Iddis guy anyway. I had Meitav, the Torah says Meitav Yishalev. I was entitled to that. For some technicalities, I can't get it. But you're not losing anything out anyway. So just give it to me. Says the Rush, but that's fine. The land can go from Reuben to the Nizak, and the woman cannot complain and say, well, what do you mean? In this case, I was supposed to get Iddis instead of Zipporas. And the Rush explains himself. Look, again, often as the case, that the Lundis that we say is explicit in the Rishonim. Look what the Rush says. He says what we just said almost explicitly. Says the Rush, Mishum da Amar lo Nizak, because the Nizak will say, Kulu Misham de Didinenu. All of the lands are Meshubit to me. The Shibit exists on all three properties. So how come you can't collect from them normally if there's Meshubit, right? The Chachamim established the Tovas HaLekuchos for the benefit of the Lekuchos.
So it's their benefit that as long as there's brechorim, we don't want them to lose out. Okay, when Shem Mochlin al Tarkana Sheskinu Tovasam, Atem al Lachemimi. And if the guy is Mochel, the guy is Mochel.
So what does the Rush seem to be saying? The Rush seems to be saying, again, the slight complication, right? The Rush seems to be saying initially like the Riva. Right? And this was what we had from the Meiri. But now it's being flipped. Because initially the Rush said, like the Riva. But now he's saying a slightly different case of the Meiri. So which way does he hold? So he tells us what he holds. That's the advantage of what the Rush did. Right? The Rush told us exactly what he believes. The Rush says the Shibud is on everything. What's the difference between what the Rush said and what the Meiri said? There's one difference.
What?
You can walk up and go straight to the...
Why? Good. But how's that? But you could say the same thing according to this also. Meaning the Rush said that if he does not ask Reuven, he doesn't get it.
It's only if he convinces you.
Why?
Because he has no claim on the land anymore. It doesn't matter.
And therefore, when his takana exists, the only way to get out of the takana is if he's mochel. That seems to be that last piece of the difference between the Meiri and the Rush is that the Rush says it requires explicit mechila. Without the explicit mechila, then it is not going to be valid. Okay. You guys, I worked hard on the Rush this morning because I wanted to make sure you saw that. Let's move on to the market. Okay, clear? Any questions? Good? Excellent. Okay. Now pay attention right now to the Shakla Vatari of this Gemara. Ready? Back in the Gemara, Chesam Ralef. Yeah, we're good? Says the Gemara. Tanur Rabbanan, again, starting again from the beginning. If you sold the land to one person or to three people as one, kulan nichnesu tachas habaylam. They all go instead of the baylam. Again, what does that mean? Right, the shibudim are the same, and again, if all three of these lands are sold to the lokeach, and as long as it was done at the same time, then the same rules are going to apply. Good. But if it's one after the other, kulan govin mina acharon, then everybody collects from the last one. That's what we said before, and right, that's the rule of ein nifray mina chasim mishubadim b'makom sheyesh b'nei chorin. Right, you have to go to the last one. Ein lo gova mishalifanav, ein lo gova mishalifnei fanav. And if that person doesn't have, right, if this one doesn't have, you go to the one before it, and this one doesn't have, you go to the one before that. Good. That Gemara we saw already. Now the Gemara takes a slightly different direction. Says the Gemara, Machron le'echad hechi dami. We started out with the case of Machron le'echad. Machron le'echad. Selling to one. What's that case? What is that?
He gets all three pieces of land.
One person gets all three pieces of land. Okay.
So what's the Gemara asking?
What's the Gemara asking?
What?
At one time, one day, or three separate days?
Oh. How exactly did all of the lands end up by this one person? Excellent. So says the Gemara, Machron le'echad hechi dami. What's the case? If it was bibas achas at once, hashto lishlosha deika lemeimar chad min ayikadim amrit kula nichnas utachas abaylim machar necha mibaya. Let's go through that slowly, okay? What's the ilim of bibas achas? If you're going to say, so one option is that machar necha means bas achas. What does bas achas mean? At one time. What did you say?
One day.
One day. Right? One day. What did you say?
According.
Well, let's see. Oh. So,
Option number one is machron achar, if he sold it to one person on one day. Does it matter how you sold it to that person on one day? What are the options? How could you have sold it on one day? Meaning in three shtaros or
one shtar.
Or shtar achar, right? With ora, both are options. This can be with gimel shtaros or shtar echad, right? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ilema b'vatsachas is shtar echad. It's one shtar. I'm good. Sheila told me that it doesn't have to be only one shtar. You said that it could be three shtaros as long as it's on the same day. So why does Rashi tell me
at once
that it's only shtar echad? Not that what Rashi is saying is wrong, chas v'shalom, right? It's one of the two options here. But Rashi boxed himself in a little bit. Rashi told us that it was only shtar echad, and he didn't leave the possibility, l'chora, that it is three shtaros on one day.
So he holds it at once.
He does hold it at once, but why? Can you what pushed Rashi to say that?
Because otherwise it seems like a blasphemous.
Oh, but isn't that the next thing that the Gemara is going to say? What's the next line of the Gemara? Good, Eitan, what's the next line of the Gemara? What says the Gemara? Read. Ilem basachas, right? Hashta, right? Lishlosha, when it comes to three, yeah? Got it? No? De'ika lemeimar chad minayu kadim. So when it comes to three at one time, what's the case of selling to three at one time? Right, when it comes to three people, right, ke'echad, as one, what's the case?
All the shtaros are the same date.
Right? It means you sold it to it means gimel shtaros. It means that there were three shtaros, right? You can't sell to three people, l'chora, in one shtar. So you have a different shtar. Ah, so if I have a different shtar, so it's possible that the sales took place at different times of the day. And one took place in the morning, one took place in the afternoon, and one took place in the evening.
It would be the same exact thing.
What's the same? Wait, Sam, what? Again. Good. Good. You're just a step ahead of me. 1 second. And if they took place, if it was Gimel Shtar and they took place at different times, I might have had a Hava Amina. I might have thought that that's not the Basachas. Right? I might have said that the one that instead of these three, if you have these three lands, instead of it being January, February, March, I could throw in 9 a.m., 12 p.m., and 3 p.m.
You said you can't do the list.
Okay, but I might have said in theory, you're in Tosos, you're way, way ahead of me. You're much more advanced than me. Very, very simple, right? Very simple, very simple, right? I might have said what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is saying, in a case where it was three, then I would have thought that we could have said, well, one is probably from 9 a.m., one is from 12 p.m., and it's 3 p.m., and therefore they would have a different halachic status. That's what we might have thought. Right, inside. That I could have said. I could have said. That one of them came first. Look in Rashi. That one purchased it in the morning. And then the other two later in the day. So I might have said that that case is the exact same as this one. Who cares if it's a day apart, if it's a month apart, or if it's 3 hours apart? When Reuven bought the field at 9 a.m., he knew that Yaakov still had Beis and Zigoris. Why is it my problem, as the original purchaser, Reuven, if Yaakov sells to Shimon 3 hours later, or 3 days later, or 3 months later? They shouldn't be the same. And if they're not the same, then the rule should be that you're gove from the
Who do you collect from first? But good, right? The last one. You would collect from this one first. Because the other two can say, Hinachi l'chamako. Excellent.
So that's what I would have said. And yet, is that the halacha on the braisa?
No.
And yet we say, Amrit, kula nichnesu tachas habaylam. We say that they all come instead of the Bible, the exact same rules, meaning it's as if it was done at the same time. Why is it true that we don't say this?
Why don't we say that the 9 a.m. came first, and Hinachti l'chamakom, and 12 p.m., Hinachti l'chamakom, everybody can just say Hinachti l'chamakom?
We can't tell the star.
Excellent. Look at Rashi. Rashi. Hoil ve'ein nikar bishtar hamecher milakach rishon. So Rashi says, you know what, when it comes to a sale, there's another important factor. It's not just when the sale actually took place, but it's what the shtar can prove. And all three of these shtaros say the exact same date. And therefore, there's no difference. I sold in the exact same minute or other hours throughout the day because the shibud is as strong as the shtar. Why is that not so surprising to us? Because what do we know about shtaros?
If you have both factors, then
shtar. Right? We said in the Gemara and Rabbi Basra that there's a difference between a milva bishtar and a milva alpeh, because right about daytime you said the two factors. When you have shtar plus edim, that creates a kol. That creates a greater power to that shtar. So the strength when it comes to the shibud emerges from the shtar itself. And these shtars all say the same thing. Why don't they just put a time in the shtar?
It's not Yerushalayim.
What does Yerushalayim have to do with anything? It says Tosfos. Right? De'ikol ameir and de'chamin ha'kodin. De'inkos and shos. Elab Yerushalayim. Because you only write hours in a shtar. In Yerushalayim, you're a kodesh.
Why do you only write hours in a shtar in Yerushalayim?
You're a kodesh.
That's where they anoint the king.
So the Rishon and the Mepharshim explain on the Mishnah and the Sefes Ksuvos and Tzadik Gimel where it disappears. And this is not, Tosfos didn't make this up. Tosfos just clarified for us, right? That Tosfos says, you know, I know the Mishnah and Ksuvos, and therefore you're all sitting here in Shir trying to figure out what's the problem. Just put the time in the shtar. We all do documents all the time. Why? Instead, just be a little bit more specific. So the Mepharshim there explain, and again, in light of the fact that they didn't have clocks, this makes even more sense. The Sofrim in Yerushalayim were the key, they were experts. What was so special about Yerushalayim that the Sofrim that there were experts? What was in Yerushalayim? What? The Beis Din HaGadol. So Yerushalayim always had, it was the center place for the Beis Din, so it always had expert Sofrim as well. The Sofrim are going to be the ones who are writing the Shtar. They're going to be the ones who are inserting the time. Therefore, it became the minhag that they only put the time in the Shtaros in Yerushalayim. What would happen on both sides if you put the time in the Shtar? Let's say this kid. Hinachti l'chamakom, right? Rashi is telling us that the only time that we say that it's Gilas Taros is considered to be that you did it bebas achas is if it's not nikar, if it's not clear from the shtar itself. Normally, it's not clear from the shtar itself because it wasn't customary to put the shows in. But what if this guy was a real nudnik and he insisted, I want the hour. I want to make sure that I protect myself. Would it work? Shilo says absolutely. Why shouldn't it work?
Again, assuming that we can rely on the time being accurate, and that the guy didn't make a mistake. Let's say nowadays, right? I have a watch. I know exactly the time. I take out my cell phone, Verizon Tower. I have the exact second. I know exactly what time it is. I put that time in the shtar. The agent signed on it. It's Niker Mitoch HaShtar. So Shilo, as Mechavi the Magen Mishnah says it explicitly, that of course, if you put the shtar in, I'm sorry, if you put the Shah in the shtar, if you put the time in the shtar, of course it's going to work. Because again, what Rashi is just saying is that the case when you have a shtar throughout the day and it's not Nikar Mitoch HaShtar, it's not clear from the shtar itself, that's when we view it as all taking place at the same day. We have to assume that took place at the end of the day and they're all on the same level. But if it said it, Eina Chanami, that would still be good. So again, we still don't understand what the Gemara's question was about Machron Echad. But now we have the backdrop to understand it. Yeah,
time. Unless the time, if we're saying only one guy wrote a time in Shtar, like that's not.
In my made up case?
Yeah, it doesn't count as a place.
Well, if it was
unless
one.
It's 12 o'clock minimum.
Oh, I hear you saying. Right, if any. Okay, he does make a fair point. Unless they all put the time in the Shtar, then the later guy could, in theory, have come before the first one. Right, if this one says 9 a.m., And the Zivoris one doesn't say anything, maybe the Zivoris one came first. Okay, that's a fair point. So again, in order for this theoretical to play out, it would have to be the Shah in each of the stars. Okay, now back. Yeah, this is all the backdrop. So what's the Gemara's kasha? Right back inside the Gemara, what's the Gemara asking? The Gemara says, I want to know what's the case of Machron Echad. Because again, there were two cases where the Gemara said, Kula nechnesu tacha sabayim. And if the Gemara gives two cases, then the Ora, it needs two cases. Because if you learn the same thing out of each of the cases, it's redundant. And we don't like Brisos being redundant. Right? There's no reason. It wouldn't have to be there. So if it's true that in the case of Gimel Shtaros, by three people, the din, and there, theoretically, I may have been able to say that they took place at different times. But we don't say it l'maisa because it's not clear from the Toch HaShtar. So says the Gemara, if in that case, in that case we say that they all come on instead of the Bailim, Machron Echad Bibaya. So do I have to tell you that in the case of Bas Achas, in the case of Bas Achas, that it's nichnas utachas abaylan? Isn't that obvious? Oh, so Gemara says it's a kal v'chomer. Maybe that's what was pushing Rashi to explain it as a case. Maybe what Jack is saying is what was pushing Rashi to explain it as a case of shtar echad and not gilmo shtaros. Because if it's a case of shtar echad, right? If I have one shtar, that shtar says it that I, Reuven, purchased from Yaakov, Idis, Beninis, and Zivoris, then they're obviously all took place at the exact same second. So that case is a Kal v'chomer. That if in the case of three, where it may have taken place at different times, we say, Kul nechnesu, tachas abaylev, al achas kama v'kama, so certainly, by shtar echad. What if it was three shtaros to one guy? It would be the same thing. Would it be a Kal v'chomer? Would it be a Kal v'chomer? If we say that in the case of three people with three shtaros, right, it may have happened at different times, but we don't, the chiddush is we don't care as long as it doesn't say shows. So the case of Shtar Echad, right, this case, right, had to be at the same time. So if it's true in this case, then Kal v'chomer, it's true in this case, right? Because in this case, there's no Svara to be Mechalik. What about the case of Gimel Shtaros? Is it possible that one person purchased it, three pieces of land,
from the same other person at three different times of the same day? It's possible. It's possible, right? He could have purchased the first one at 9 a.m. instead of three different people. Maybe at 9 a.m. he thought, oh, this is a good deal. I'll take that one. Maybe, oh, you're selling the other pizza. I'll take that one. And then the third one a little bit later. So if it was a case of Gilmash Staros, would it be a Kavach Omer? Why? Again, a Kavach Omer means that one case is a bigger Chiddush than the other case. Right?
It's not really boring.
It's a Huadin, it's repetitive. It's repetitive. It would be the same Chiddush, not a Kavach Omer.
I'm not sure, but maybe Rashi, from the fact that the Gemara is assuming it's a Kavach Omer,
maybe that's where Rashi boxed himself in to saying that it was Shtar Echad. Because only the case of Shtar Echad would be a Kavach Omer.
The other case would be a different question. Why am I repeating it? But would I say,
what was the lashon of the Gemara again? Would I say, Machran le'echad mibaya? Do I have to say the case of Machran le'echad? Lechora, it would not.
So maybe, again, not the biggest point either way, but again, in terms of just reading Rashi carefully, maybe that's what pushed Rashi to say that it was Shtar Echad, even though you, Rav Osai, told me that it could have, in theory, been either case.
But either way, we still have a problem. Because we still don't know what the pshat
in the beginning of the braisa is. Right, the braisa starts off by saying, Machan Lepa, if you sold it to one person,
Kula Nichnesu Tachas Abaylim. We assumed, I think when we all read the Gemara, we assumed that it was Machan Echad, one of these two cases. Either Gimel Shtaros on the same day, or one Shtar. And the case made a lot of sense to us.
But now the Gemara said that can't be. Why can't it be? Why can't that be the case? Because then the price is
redundant,
right? Then I don't need that case. Yeah, you done? Good. Say one more time.
Yeah,
there are two cases at the beginning of the price. There are two cases in which we say kula niftesu tachas habaylum, that you fully come in the same place where the habaylum is. Right? The first case was Machran Le'echad, he sold it to one person, and the second case was he sold it to three people on the same day. If the cases are the exact same thing, meaning if the case of Gimel Shtaros, or I could have said it happened at different times throughout the day, but we don't care, we don't look at it as hours, we only look at it at the end of the day, if in that case we say that you go instead of the violin, and certainly in the case of one person. And if that's true, why did the Braisa have to start off with Machran Le'echad? It doesn't teach us anything extra. But it does tell us. So we have to figure out what is that case.
Okay, good. Back inside the Gemara. So what is the case of Machran Le'echad? Ela Pshita. Rather, it must be B'zachar Zeh.
Case of Machran Le'echad is not Bas Achas, but it is Bezeh Achar Zeh.
What does Bezeh Achar Zeh mean? Yeah?
It wasn't all at the same time, it was separate days.
Separate days. Not just not at the same time, but separate days. How do you know that it was separate days?
Rashi.
Okay, that's a good reason. How did Rashi know? Because otherwise, we have the same problem. It's the exact same thing as this case. So it must be telling us that Bezeh Achar Zeh is something else. Look inside Rashi. Good. Elo Bezeh Achar Zeh. Begimel Yomim. On three different days. So now, the case of Machran Le'echad of Kula Nichnesu Tachas Habaylem is talking about a case where Reuven purchased the land on Monday, and Shimon purchased the land on Tuesday, and Levi purchased the land on Wednesday, and we're saying that the halacha is that Kula Nichnes Utach Zabayim, they are all equal. They are all equal. How can that be? What? It's one person who purchased all three of them, but all three of them on different days, and apparently, right. you'd have to pay the iddis to the nizak, and we're not going to say hinachti l'chol makom. It's crazy. It's crazy. So look at the Gemara, and the Gemara tells us it's crazy. The Gemara says, I don't understand. So the Gemara says, umayshna shlosha dekol chad v'chad amar lehinachti l'chol makom l'gvos mimenu. Gemara says, I don't understand. Understand. In the case of the three people, right? Which is the next case of the Brisa, the third case of the Brisa, the Brisa tells us that if you sold it to Reuven on one day, Shimon the next day, and Levi the third day, that Reuven can say, leave me be, he knocked on the door, I left you space to collect with Shimon and Levi, and Shimon can do the same thing about Levi. So there the rule is that which one is the Nizak going to collect from? The Achron, Levi, even if it is Zipporus. So says the Gemara, I don't understand. How is this different? How is the case of one person buying it on three different days any different? Why can't Reuven say that when I purchased the this on Monday, he knocked it l'chol makom? I left the space to collect the Beinus and Zipporus. And when I purchased the Beinus on Tuesday, I left the space to collect from the Zipporus. And therefore, the din should be kulon, govin, min acharon. Look at the Gemara. Umayishla shlosha dekocha v'chad. Omar lehinachti l'chol makom l'gvos mimenu. Why is this different than when it comes to three people, b'zeh achar zeh, where we said that each one can say, hinachti l'chol makom, I left you room to collect. Hainami, this guy also, akol chad v'chad, on each field, lehinachti l'chol makom l'gvos mimenu. On each field, he should be able to say that I left over space for you to collect. How can this possibly be the pshat? How can this possibly be the pshat in the Brisa? So now we're really stuck, right? Because within Machon Echad, the first option of Bas Achas we said would be repetitive, and now the option of Bezechar Zeh wouldn't be true. Because Bezachar Zeh should be no different than the third case of the Brisa, in which we said that if you sold it at different days, then your Gove may not Acharon. You're collecting from the last one. So we have no pshat in the Brisa. Yeah?
So the issue is in the first and second part. The first two and last part of the Brisa say the same thing.
Well, which it depends on which stage of the Gemara you have. At this stage, when the Gemara said that Machon Echad means Bas Achas, then the problem was that case 1 and case 2 are the same. Once we go to Bezachar Zeh, then the problem is that case 1 and case 3 seem to be the same, but the halacha is different. And why is the halacha different? How come when it comes to selling to three people on three different days, we say that what's the halacha? Which one do you collect from?
Last one.
Why? Because the earlier guys can say.
The other guy can go to.
So why can't one person say that also he buys at three different times? Why is that a special zuchus that only three different people can say? The same svara should apply to one person as well. So if we're going to say that case one is Bezachar Zeh, then case one and case three seem to be the same, but now it's not a problem that it's redundant, now it's a problem that it's a stira. It's a contradiction. And the halacha in case three is the one that makes sense, not the halacha in case one. So we're stuck. So answers the Gemara. Hacha b'mayaskinan kigon shelokach idis ba'achrona. Hacha b'mayaskinan kigon shelokach idis ba'achrona. This case of Zeh Achar Zeh is when Lokach Idis Bachrona. When you purchased it on three different days. You purchased it on three different days. Right? Zeh Achar Zeh. We said can't he say, how is that different than case number three, where we said if it happened on different days, you can collect from the Acharon? Oh, the answer is because the last one that was purchased was Idis. Huh? How'd that answer the question? How does that answer the question? So now, now the answer should be, you collect from the Idis. What's the problem? How do they just answer the question? What did we gain by saying Kegon Shaloka Idis Vachron that the Idis was last?
Yeah, Jeff. Take a shot at it.
Take a shot at it, yeah.
So you said the whole point of collecting from the Acharon was to help out the buyers. They shouldn't lose out on their Shibuyim right away.
Yeah.
In this case, the Acharon is the Idis. So it doesn't, that din of collecting from the Acharon doesn't help him in any way.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Jack is way, way ahead of us. It's perfect. It's perfect, but let's just make sure that we're all on the same train. You're a few stops ahead. Excellent. Excellent. Let's see what Rashi says first. Okay? Says Rashi. Elo b'zeh achar zeh, just going back up with Mr. Rashi, two Rashis. When it comes to begim yomim, lema hai lokech echad lokech, should say, nach lecha mokam likvos. I left you space to collect, ki hechid in izukul basar ziboris. Right?
If Reuven purchased all three lands, Idis, Bainis, and Ziboris, then he could say, you know why I bought the Ziboris last? Because I wanted you to collect only from the Ziboris. I was thought out being after the Chamakom.
That was my plan all along. Oh. Now the Gemara answer says Rashi, Shelokach Idis Bachrona. The Nechole, the Mace of Lehu Kedinayu. Vilolizlu basar idis. That it's good for him to go after the halacha and not to go after the idis. Who cares what he prefers? We're talking about shibudim. Shibudim. This isn't what you want to have for dinner. Who cares? It's not a menu. You don't get to choose. You don't get to choose what you want. If we're talking about shibudim, what difference does it make? So l'chora, right? What Jack is saying is right on target. It's right on target. It makes a very big difference what you prefer, depending on how you understand this rule over here, right? Yeah, what's the rule that's at play here? What's underlying, what's in the backdrop of everything that we're talking about is trying to understand why is it that when there is land available, you can't go to the land that came before, the land where the shibud was. So when we heard the answer of Lachach Idis Vachrona, what was our knee-jerk response? What were we thinking? Who cares? It's shibudim. And if the last one, this one down here, was Idis, so now whoever's going to come is going to be very happy and collect their Idis. It's all about shibudim. But Jack says, that's not so simple. Was the purpose of this rule of Ein Ephraim and Achasim Mishibadim v'makom sheish b'nei chorin to protect the people who are collecting? No. Our responsibility to these guys is to make sure they get their money back and to follow whatever system the Torah put in place. Why is it that there's a rule of Ein Ephraim and Achasim Mishibadim v'makom sheish b'nei chorin that was designed to protect the buyer? And here, what does the buyer say? Look at Rashi. Rashi's lashon is meduyah. What is he going to say? Denichali, lemeis of Lukid. I'd rather. Don't I get a choice? If I go with the Ikar Hadin, then, again, just think about it this way. If we pretend, ignore this piece of land for now, we have another piece of land down here. And this is an Idis that's worth $1,000.
and this one was purchased last, then all three of these people, when they come to collect their $100 kobos, are getting
Yiddis.
They're getting Yiddis. So says the Lokeach, I purchased all three of these lands. I have all of his shibudim. I have to give up $100 of Yiddis. I get that. Because the Nizak is entitled to that. But if we go with pure shibudim, then the takana rabbanim made it from and the customer shibudim the market is going. It's gonna hurt me. It's worse. I'd rather go back to the Iker Hadin. Don't I get a choice? He says what? Right. And if I get a choice, so I'll tell you no problem. I'll give $100 out of $100 piece of Yiddis. Mr. Nizak, I'll give $100 piece of Bainanis to Mr. Bachov, and I'll give $100 piece of Zivoris to Ms. Ksuba. And everybody's got what they want. So that's what the Gemara seems to be saying. Isn't it about protecting me? Now I have a China. But you're lucky Idis Bachrona. If I bought the Idis last, it's gonna hurt me. Now you're gonna shrug yourself up, but
yeah. This is assuming that the Idis is worth a lot more than the
right. Yes. Yeah, but again, the point is that he'll have the right to say it. You're right. If in the end it would be worse for him to say it, then he's not coming. But again, we're trying to work. Yeah, 100%.
Question or just a finger roll?
No, I'm good.
Okay. You done?
Yeah, how's it?
Suffering question.
How's it protecting the buyers in case of when it's refilled or sold after?
When it's the exact same amount?
Yeah.
It's not. That was why we had the Mahogany Shonen. The case when it's protecting the buyers, which is the beginning case over here, just to make sure that this is 100% clear, is if they purchased it in this order, right? And the Idis, and they're collecting, $500 worth of kobos, and this is worth $1,000, and this is worth $1,000, and this is worth $1,000, and this one is Bachrona, this one's purchased last. So if we would say it's all Meshabadim, you can collect whatever you want, then if this guy is a Nizak, he collects his $500 from the Idis, right? But if the rule is you have to go to the last one, then you're stuck getting everything from the Zivoris. And then the buyer of this is thinking of three different people.
Right, but that's not protecting the buyers. That's protecting the first buyer.
It's protecting each buyer is protected when there's the next one.
But it's a different rule.
It's another application of the same rule. Meaning it's the same rule would say, again, it's the same rule that says that when Levi has the Zivoris that he purchased last, if Yaakov has, I don't know, slower than Zibe Ziburis, like the worst possible Ziburis, then he has to get from Yaakov. So, I mean, it always moves one step ahead. So it is still protected. The Malcolm changed B'nai Chorin. It is a question of defining what the B'nai Chorin is. So whatever is, right?
I said it right.
Oh, excellent. So that seems to be what the Gemara is saying. But then, and we'll have to finish off with this, then the Gemara says... Then the Gemara says, Ihachi, Lesi Kulu, Viligvimi Idis. So the Gemara says, what was bothering all of you? What do you mean? If it's Lada Idis Bakrona, Jack, don't tell me any fancy tires and smaras. What's the rule? The rule is, you collect from the last one. The rule is, you collect from the last one. So that's be true here. Also, look at Rashi, he's saying unbelievable. And Rashi, then we'll have to stop. Look at Rashi. Ligvu mi idis kilomar. Again, what do we say? What does kilomar always mean? As if to say. Meaning Rashi's telling us that there's something that's not just pashup shot. Rashi has to add in something more. Kilomar me idis shenishra baschorin. You're taking from the idis that was left as free. The beis halakichos in the previous two sales. Vehutal shibudon alei. And the shibud is on that. So why did Rashi say, that's what we meant?
What did Rashi add that justified him saying Klomar? Didn't he say exactly what was bothering all you guys? If it's true that he bought the Idis last, then the rule is you collect from Idis last. You know what he threw in, I think? Yeah, excellent. Those last three words. It's Hutal Shibudin Aleh. You know what he's saying? The Gemara is asking right now, you know what? It's about Shibudin. It's not about what's Nichole. It's not about what you prefer. It's about a Seder. It's about which Shibud came first. And once it's true that he bought this land, last, then that's the land that the Shibud is on right now. You can't jump over it. Because it's about Shibudim. That's why Rashi had to throw in the Klomar, because he's telling you a pshat. Because otherwise, and then what the Rashboa asked if you had a chance to see it, what's the shift in the Gemara? What was Rashi Shishas Abba mean? Rashi Shishas and the stum of the Gemara that said he bought the Idis, and but then you collect from the Idis. We all knew that. Everybody sitting here was wondering the exact same thing. It has to be there was some sort of change. You understand this? And Rashi's hinting to us, the change is in Svara. And at the beginning I would have said that you can collect from, that he would say, even if it's Lakat Idis Bachrona, he can do what's best for him, because the whole Takana was about protecting him. So he can decide which one he prefers. Now the Gemara is saying, not so simple. It's about Shibudim, and then it leads us into a Shas topic known in Yeshivas as Ishaskis. Not Rav Shaskis, but Ishaskis. We'll have to see that in your question tomorrow, Rabosai.
Shkoyach, excellent job. The